A good day, our Shabbos, everyone. We are about to begin Bes Hashem, Shia number 204. We're going to talk today about a very important topic regarding shame versus guilt. It's from Reb Twersky's book, Life's Too Short, about pulling the plug on self-defeating behaviors and turning on the power of self-esteem. And shame and guilt has some purposes, but the way we often use them, it could be debilitating and crush us. And we fall into a spiral of real negative behaviors and being in bad places because of the excess, unhealthy shame and guilt. So first he talks about the differentiation between these two terms that are used so often interchangeably. A person may say, I feel guilty for what I've done and I'm ashamed for what I did. And they're talking about the same thing, but it's easily confused. So he's going to talk about how to distinguish the difference between them. He says that according to current psychological thinking, guilt comes from doing something wrong. You know, you violated a moral principle, an ethical principle. And at that point, then guilt is a healthy feeling. That's healthy guilt. Why? Because it doesn't touch upon the essence of the person. It's that a violation occurred and now you want to rectify that wrong by making resolutions and restitutions, by apologizing, by doing what you do, apitaira, to do tshuva on something that's appropriate to do tshuva for. So that discomfort that we feel within us of that guilt, number one, serves us as a preventative purpose, can discourage us from doing wrongdoing in the future, to know that we'll feel terrible if we make those wrong decisions, and also to motivate us to correct that wrong. That's a healthy type of guilt. An unhealthy type of guilt is when we feel guilty about things that are not a violation of a moral or ethical principles. We are fantasizing a misdeed in our minds. We're feeling guilty sometimes for harboring an improper thought, even when we are unable to control our thoughts. And we make amends when there's no realistic basis for that guilt. And that guilt, if it goes in excess, requires psychological treatment. Now, we're going to talk a different time why this is not a stira to what many tzaddikim say, and in learning, and in the Rav Nachman's Torah, and all of those that we have the ability to control machshavos and thoughts. To a large degree, it is possible that we could, based on hard work and training, to control our thoughts to a large degree. So we're not talking about allowing your thoughts to just go in wrong directions and just continue to let it go there. And so there is an avoida pertaining to working on your inner work towards having healthy, good thoughts. But this idea of having the thinking that we could control all our thoughts, or that we have these real strong desires or fantasies or things that come up to us coming from the Yetzirah, to feel guilty about those etzem thoughts are very unhealthy. There's no realistic basis for feeling the guilt there. You know, we're told many, many times by many Gedolei Yisrael that Adarabba, you know, you're mekayim the mitzvah of leisasura achrei levavchem achrei einechem. So if you, something that you saw or that you, emotion comes up, it could be a real difficult or wrong thing, even a machshavas aveira, but it pops up in your consciousness. There's no accountability or liability whatsoever for having that thought or for feeling those feelings. It's what you do with it now is where your choice is. To be misich das from it, to daven Hashem to help you remove it, and so on and so forth. But the idea of having excess, and people fall into this trap. You know, people go both extremes. One extreme is not to care at all what you think about and think there's no problem with it and just let it go, have a free reign. That's not healthy. That's destructive. But the other extreme that people do is whenever they have these thoughts that come up in them, or sometimes it's going to be obsessive, it keeps recurring, and that's a nisayon. But to, because of that, get into a point of where you feel that tremendous crushing guilt, there's no basis for that. There's nothing to do tshuva for on that. That's very, very important. Brings an example, he brings someone, Sally. Her father died of a heart attack when she was 12. And she came to treatment at age 38. She was consumed by guilt because she felt she was responsible for her father's death. And she confessed that sin numerous times. She wasn't Jewish, obviously. She, you know, confessed to a priest, and a priest recommended she need psychiatric counseling because he understood, rightfully, that she wasn't confessing a real sin. Her guilty feelings for her father's death was inappropriate. So that's an example of unhealthy guilt. Whether guilt is healthy or unhealthy, they're related to an act, if it's real or fantasized. So guilt is often accompanied with the ideas, I made a mistake. That's what the term guilt is usually used for. Then there's shame. Shame is a different character. Shame may have nothing to do with real acts or fantasized acts. Shame is the inner feeling of I'm just simply no good. I'm no good. You know, let's say you have a car that's functioning perfectly. If that car would have the ability to think, I'm a lemon, you know, I don't work well. That's the equivalent of shame. There's no way to fix the car. There's nothing wrong with it. So by guilt, you say, I made a mistake in a certain act. I made a mistake. Shame is an overall encompassing feeling of that I am a mistake. There's no justification in reality for such a feeling. No matter what a person has gone through, no matter what they are feeling, there is no reason to believe I inherently am a mistake. Shame, therefore, is a much deeper, more painful, and more pervasive feeling than guilt. You could relieve guilt by making amends, by the unhealthy guilt, by recognizing it's unhealthy and moving it, you know, moving away from that. Shame often is so powerful in a negative way, it causes a tremendous amount of despair. So we're very complicated this way. We use ways to protect our ego. And very often the feeling of shame is used for that because shame is essentially hopelessness. If I'm essentially bad, then no matter how I behave, I'm doomed. If my essence is unlikable, I'll never be likable. My essence can't change. So I'm doomed to a life of loneliness. And I'm doomed to a life of rejection. So how do you make yourself feel better? Very often what people do is they provoke people to disliking them. Some people become more rude, obnoxious. Because you know why they do that? It's because then you can attribute the reason why they don't like you is because of your behavior, not your essence. You know, you'll have the comfort of thinking, you know, I'm a likable person and people would like me if I stopped acting obnoxious. And they're only disliking me because I'm being obnoxious. So that is a yesod gadol. It sounds crazy, actually. It sounds very strange, but psychologically, that's what people do a lot. If you don't behave wrongly, then you have this fear you're being attributed if you're disliked because it's your very essence that's being disliked. And that's an unbearable pain. There's no relief to that pain, except the Muna B'tochen, which we're going to talk about. But that pain of you believing your essence is unlikable is extremely painful. So when people don't like you and you're trying to be good and a good human being and they dislike you, and you come to this conclusion that they dislike you or hate you or disdain you because of your essence, that's extremely excruciatingly painful. So you'd rather attribute their disliking you because of a negative behavior, so you'll engage in that negative behavior. There's a famous psychologist, he quotes Harry Stack Sullivan, that says that it's easier for a person to feel rejected for what one does than for what one is. So that's why when you have alcoholics or drug addicts that are recovering, they recognize this. First they say, why did I drink myself almost to death? Why did I use drugs? I don't know. But when they pause and think about it, they recognize, yeah, I know why. You know why? Because I want the people to hate me because I'm a drunk or that I'm a drug addict, not because I was John or Jay or Chaim or Beryl. They'll hate me because I'm a drunk. They'll hate me because I'm a drug addict. But they're not going to hate me because of me. It's a very sharp, true insight. When you're convinced that people would dislike you since childhood and it's intolerable, you just believe you are worthless. That's tremendously painful, and you'd rather have people despising you because of your wrong behaviors. It's much less painful. And then you won't have to think of yourself being doomed to loneliness. But again, you're using this defense mechanism. It's coming in a tragic, destructive way. In reality, they're likable people. They're good people. They would enjoy companionship. They would enjoy intimacy. But they resign themselves to a life of solitude because they have this illusion of inadequacy, this illusion of unworthiness, this illusion of unlikability. In other words, they have this shame factor. And then what happens in some cases, they convert shame into guilt. And that continues and continues. So unless the underlying shame is eliminated, it's very difficult to eliminate those destructive behaviors. If you're convinced you'll be ostracized regardless of what you do, then by behaving in these antisocial ways, it'll make that inevitable ostracism more tolerable. The change of behavior, the therapeutic breakthrough of the healing, comes from the fact of recognizing that you have value as a human being. No matter what people think or say, you're intrinsically valuable. And you don't need to be, if someone dislikes you, you don't have to go on drugs or drink or be, you know, do negative behaviors to confirm that they'll like you, they'll dislike you about a behavior and not yourself. No, you have to believe yourself. You're really good. It happened once, Rabbi Twersky, for someone who, a woman who was hospitalized for rehab, and then he was impressed how well she looked and recovered over the last few weeks. And he told her, you know, you're looking very good, you know. And he was stunned because what happened was is she started to rage against him, curse him out, yell, scream, got into a tantrum on that seemingly, you know, that innocent, real, well-meaning compliment that he gave her. The next day she apologized and said, I'm sorry for what I said yesterday. You said something positive to me and I didn't know how to handle it. And that's what happens a lot of times. When people are so shame-ridden, they may actually feel more comfortable when they're treated poorly. That's familiar to them. So this idea of working through the unhealthy shame, to deem yourself as a person of value, of tremendous self-worth, is extremely, extremely important. We could give countless shiurim on this concept of shame and guilt and how to overcome it in healthy ways. And B'ez Hashem, hopefully we will be able to explore this more in the future. Because this is a yesod of what causes, especially in our generation, people to fall into negative behaviors, even narcissism to a great extent, and other real destructive abuse type situation behaviors come from this excess shame and guilt deep inside. And when one works through this, one can really, truly heal. Bracha v'atzlacha.